O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth forth his handiwork. Savior God, Heavenly Father, creator of the ends of the earth, author and finisher of faith, perfecter of redeeming mercy, thou whose grace that brings salvation hath appeared to all men, teach us the full depths of thy holy self as we pray together the prayer which our Savior taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. It was in the death year of the king Uzziah that I saw the Lord, his trailing garments filling the temple, occupying a high and exalted throne. Six-winged flaming ones standing over him, each one with six wings. With two wings, each kept covering his face. With two, he kept covering his feet. And with two, he kept flying. One would call out to the other and say, "Holy, holy, holy Yahweh of hosts. His glory is filling all the world." The foundation posts of the entrance would totter back and forth from the voice of the proclaimer, and the house would get smoke-filled. Then I said, "Woe be to me, I'm ruined. Since my eyes have seen the King, Yahweh of hosts, I am an unclean-lipped man. Besides, I belong to an unclean-lipped people." But one of the flaming ones with a glowing ember in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from right off the altar, flew unto me and put it against my mouth, then said, "Attention here. This has touched against your lips. It has turned away your moral twistedness, and your failure record is completely covered up." After that, I could hear the Lord's voice saying, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" So I answered, "Attention here, send me." Then he said, "Go, let be said to this people, listen carefully and understand thoroughly. Look ye well and know by experience. Make this people's heart prosperous. Also cleanse his ears and unblindfold his eyes, that he may see with his eyes, that through his ears he may hear. Then his heart will be discerning and will repent. And then for him healing." Then I said, "Until when, Lord? When to stop?" So he answered, "Not before cities waste away from lack of dwellers, houses waste away from lack of people, the land become a ruined desolation. Yahweh shall have removed the human creature far away, and the forsakenness throughout the world is multiplied. Though the land be subject to destruction repeatedly, still a remnant remains in it. Just as a terebinth tree and an oak tree, which have been cut down to stump, have a monument, life sap in them, so her memorial, the land's memorial, is the holy seed." sinful man met holy God in the vision in Isaiah 6. Our first worship period on the theme of this encounter was devoted to trying to see through the prophet's eyes a glimpse, if nothing more, of this splendorous holiness. This vision of holiness also forced us to a new look at or a new estimate of ourselves. Thus, we found in the second study that we can no longer go our self-chosen, blind, irresponsible ways. The encounter with holy God has changed us, and we are now a separated people. We are a peculiar and a sanctified people. Naked and undone before Him, we saw not only our unholiness, our commonness, our non-sacredness. We also saw our uncleanness, our sinfulness, our rebellion. Through glory when He is able, and through wrath when He must, God shows us the nature of His divine being, His holiness. Thus, through our vision of Him, we see all unrighteousness as sin. This is an essential part of the cleansing and separation. As was true with the prophet Isaiah, so with us. From our new place in the sun, we see things we have never seen before. Having had our moral twistedness turned aside and our failure record completely covered up, we are able to hear with our ears without confusion, to see with our eyes without distortions, and to discern with our hearts without delusions. God does not make mistakes. He would neither seek our service, whom shall I send, who will go for us, nor accept our surrender. Here am I, send me. Attention here, send me, nor send us forth. Go get a message across to this people. Were it not a fact of His grace that we can be, and indeed we are in Him, what Marguerite Harmon Brough calls more than we are. This is all true and more, because God's holiness expresses itself not only in glory and in wrath, but in hesed, mercy, grace, love, which we see in our assigned text, chapter 6 of Isaiah, as redemptive purpose. Do not ask me, please, how it can be true. I simply do not know. I do not understand it. In fact, the mystery of God's purpose in winning the world unto Himself through the agency of such as you and me is, to my mind, second only to the mystery of His measureless love in Messiah Jesus. And yet, in His mysterious grace, our very holiness, our sanctification, becomes the channel of His redemptive purpose. This is the witness or testimony of the Bible, confirmed in the experience of the church universal through almost 2,000 years of history. Ye are the light of the world. Ye are my witnesses. Jesus could say that to His followers, including us, because He knew that holiness is possible for men. In the personal life of men, holiness means completely healthy. Not necessarily physically well, but usually this also in the Bible period. But this is that holiness which is the gracious endowment of perfect love and the abiding fullness of Holy Spirit. A person so possessed cannot sit still. He cannot hold his peace. One laid a hold upon by or seized in the grip of perfect love and fullness of Holy Spirit will be like Peter before the magistrate when he was scourged for preaching in that name. Said he to those chastising him, Must we obey man or God? We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Now, we could be charged with going around in circles here, and perhaps with some justification. But we must keep coming back to the fact of the tremendous revolution worked in man when he permits himself to be exposed to and exposed by the holiness of God. He is given second sight, or if you wish, insight. It's a sense of perspective that is peculiar to God's children. When the true child of our holy heavenly Father looks across and upon and through the complex of history, he can see redemptive purpose in the order of all things, all of which are the handiwork of God. But his vision of this now includes more than factual knowledge about it, just information. He now feels the purpose. It's of the fabric of this purpose that he has been recreated. He's now a new one. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. He's made out of new stuff, and it's not the same kind of stuff of which he was constituted before. There were limits on him then. He heard only faintly, as dull echoes. He saw only dimly, as uncertain shadows. And he discerned only aimlessly, as one lost in the way. But the limits have been removed. Holy glory has burst through. Attention here. This has touched your lips. Then after that, I started hearing the Lord's voice saying, and this is participle of action here, and pictures God as voicing without interruption to the sanctified of all ages, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? The sense of the passage is that all who share the vision of his holiness will say with Isaiah, attention here, send me. But modern man has developed a gimmick, psychological or other, that makes him believe it's possible and quite the natural thing to do, really, for him to deny the obligation of his soul. In the depths of my being, I believe that all too often he has found and still finds aid and comfort for this tragic, soul-destroying self-deception right in the church. Now, this is no splenetic attack on the church, for I have neither bitterness nor complex as far as I'm competent to judge. But there are so many ways in which much that we call religion today is almost identical with the prostitution of a holy redeeming love which the false prophets called religion in the centuries before the coming of Christ. I illustrate with only one of the prostitutions of holiness. It's one to which the free churches have contributed generously, and some would say that Baptists are particularly at fault. I speak of that fanatic devotion to freedom, freedom which is license, which makes every man his own priest without the discipline of a holy life. The quality and depth of true holiness lose all meaning. Oh, but the man's a priest. So was Caiaphas, high priest. This is bad enough. But it doesn't stop here. This same kind of undisciplined freedom idea runs through the whole fabric of our way of life. It puts gambling and drinking, brutality, murder, the basest promiscuity, and many other evils in the homes of the great majority of Americans through improperly produced and controlled television. It uses the mails, TV, radio, newspapers, billboards, and other advertising media to represent cheap and sometimes, or to misrepresent rather, cheap and sometimes dangerous junk by the trainload. It uses the same mails, the magazine racks, the bookstores, the movie screens, and other channels for such trash as Lady Chatterley's Lover, and other four-letter word bestsellers. Some of you may feel like saying amen, but hear this first. None of the above is any worse than that cheap, easy, glassy-eyed, holy-mouthed little gospel, which Dr. Green calls the pious piffle of the pliable prophet, which so many of us proudly peddle for pay and popularity. We reserve the right of this pious little exercise in the high and exalted name of freedom under God. But the vision of holiness said, go, get this message to the people. Listen carefully, understand thoroughly, look ye well and know by experience. Make this people's heart successful or prosperous. Cleanse his ears and unblindfold his eyes that he may see with his eyes, that through his ears he may hear, and then his heart will be discerning and repent, thus for him healing. And here it is again. Listen. Understand. See. Hear. Discern. Repent. Then healing. When Isaiah desired to know when he could relax his efforts, the holy God said, never. When all seems hopeless to you, redemptive purpose is still at work. Though the land be subject to repeated destruction, the seed of holiness is its memorial. By the standards of men, the world in which you and I live becomes more and more hopelessly dark every day. Our age has fought three great wars and now passionately woos Armageddon. It seems that Christianity cannot even keep pace with the no-God ideologies, to say nothing of winning the struggle for men's minds and souls and hearts. The burning self-giving of the true communist, for example, cannot be matched in the world by a religion which has made terms with mammon, a religion which develops and perpetuates a society which condemns a man who murders his neighbor, but defends itself for killing a quarter of a million people with atom bombs, a society which despises a Negro tenant farmer who steals a chicken to feed his hungry babies, but rears a generation of young men who see no wrong in taking unauthorized books from a library and someone else's umbrella from a rack, or even worse, frittering away endless hours of precious study time, a society whose seminary professors are contemptuous of students who waste their time but who have no uneasiness of soul and conscience about standing before a class of men without having made the best possible preparation. The followers of the Christian faith today stand under a high and heavenly obligation to regain respect for the idea of personal holiness. If a Christian will look for a minute at the holiness of God, or for just a moment, he cannot deny this obligation. Sangster, in talking about ordinary men who had seen the vision of God's Holy Spirit, said they hardly seemed the same men. On the day of Pentecost, their ebullient possession was mistaken for drunkenness. From fearful, hunted, hiding little men, they became fearless, hunting, noted men. Well, that follower of the King of Kings, the Holy One, who will receive the vision and passion which true holiness gives, will do more than the most fanatic devotee of some no-God sect, yea, even much more. He will do it for his enemies, even to the death, and with love in his heart. I said, send me. He said, go. Lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid, but say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Our Father, may thy Holy Spirit teach us every lesson of love and mercy and grace. And may we be possessed by him. May we become nothing more than his channels of thy love through Jesus Christ.